He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Well, I'll tell you, since we connected a month ago, so much has happened, and I think that we should get right into it. But first, what's on your mind? What's cooking? What is your recipe, baby?
What's cooking is nori wraps or seaweed wraps. I was reading about babies and nutrition for babies and mother breastfeeding mothers, and it talked about seaweed and kelp, and I thought, you know what? I got to get back into those again. You know how you go grocery shopping and you buy something and then it runs out and then you don't buy it again for a while? So anyway, I've done a little bit of research again on the nori wraps, and we have loved them and enjoyed them and made them for company, and they're the easiest, simplest things to make and also extremely nutritious. Nori is also known as laver. And it's a type of dark green to purple seaweed, and it's really popular in Japanese cuisine. And it's found in dried sheets and used to make sushi rolls, which I'm sure that most people have tried. Now, living here in Vernon, they do have Japanese restaurants, but not the quality that they have in Vancouver. And when we were living in Vancouver, making Japanese food, which I did make many, many times, it's just sometimes so much easier just to go out for Japanese food because you can get it high quality Japanese restaurants for an extremely low price. Whereas here in Vernon or the interior, you don't get as high a quality, but you pay through the nose for it.
No doubt. And I was looking for some nori sheets yesterday at the Safeway here in Vernon, and I couldn't find them. I went up and down the aisle like several times, and finally, like most guys, asked, but not until I couldn't do it myself. And she said, well, they're really hard to find, and I'm going to have to show you physically where they are, because if I try and explain to you where they are, you're never going to find them. So it's not something that I think a lot of people buy quite frequently, like the so-called typical normal, you know, group of people that go shopping.
Well, I think here in Vernon, they don't have some of the things that they have in Vancouver. Even like a leg of lamb is hard to find here in the Vernon area because it's not popular. And because there's an older senior population and they don't want to make a whole leg of lamb, and plus the cost is expensive. They'd rather have just a little slice of lamb. So some of the things that we are so used to buying in the Vancouver area, Lower Mainland, and there's a high Asian population in the Lower Mainland, so it's easy to find these products. But here it's not so easy. Anyway,
what is it about this nori? What's so good about it?
Well, it's a seaweed that grows off the coast of Japan, where seaweed has always been an important food source. Like many seaweeds, nori is really high in the mineral content, and it accounts for up to 40% of its dry mass is minerals. And the most important of these macronutrients, minerals, is iodine. And a very small amount portion of the nori provides well over the adult recommended daily intake of iodine, which is really vital for proper thyroid functioning. So in traditional Chinese medicine, nori is used to promote healthy circulation and to combat thyroid problems. And nori is also rich in carotenes, vitamin C, and vitamin B12, which is seldom found in land plants. And in Japan, herbal formulations containing nori are used to treat soft swelling such as goiters and lung conditions. So just that alone is worth it. So thyroid function is in Canada is very profound. Most people don't realize that they do have inoperable thyroid problems. So it's important to get it checked out, but also eating the kelp and the seaweed and the nori is very beneficial. Now, you can add the nori to your soups and crush it up and add it to your salads, but also making the nori wraps is what we do, and it's very delicious. So what I do is I lay the nori wrap on a flat surface. You can use a bamboo sushi mat if you prefer, and then you spread a thin layer of hummus, and then you can roll it up like a cigar, and that alone is a delicious and nutritious snack. Or you can get more creative by adding hummus or tahini or wasabi or whatever spread that you like. You can add a handful of wild brown rice or some quinoa, and then whatever veggies that you like. So, for example, what we have are strips of cucumber, mango or papaya, some raw tuna or crab or shrimp, and then you can roll it up. And the wonderful flavors, it's just delicious and has a lot of health benefits to it.
Well, you know, people and say mothers ask their kids, did you take your vitamins? They don't say, did you take your minerals?
Exactly.
Minerals is not really an element of our consciousness. We think vitamin A or B complex, vitamin C, but the minerals, like most good nutritionists say, look, you know, minerals are as or more important. We're made out of them. They're essential to enzyme chemistry and flexibility. Very important for the athlete, these minerals.
Well, what's really important and interesting as well is that we have had some SNU interviews that talk about minerals, such as selenium and, you know, the boron, and there's a lot of essential minerals that we're not getting that we, like you said, we don't even think about. But one of the bonuses is that Nori is gluten-free, wheat and dairy-free, so that's awesome as well. So you can cut it up, you can make it like a cigar, and then you can cut it up into little slices, and you can roll it up and put it in the fridge, and it can save for a couple of days. But I would really eat it, like, right away. But it's just a really great little snack to take on the go, and you know that it's healthy. You can buy it in the stores, like, I think some Safeways or some Asian stores have it, but sometimes they're made a day ahead. But I think it's good to eat it right away, but it can last a day or so in the fridge.
I think like a wild rice mixed with some shrimp, maybe a little veggie or some hummus in there. Oh, that sounds yummy.
You can add some alfalfa sprouts to it if you like. The quinoa is also very nice. We always have a pot of wild rice in our fridge, and that comes real handy too. So that's one thing that I also wanted to mention. Always have things on hand for those quick and easy snacks, because sometimes when you get really hungry, sometimes you'll go for the wrong foods. Hopefully you don't have those wrong foods in your fridge and in your cupboards, but it's always good to have. Just take 2 hours of your day and make up some raw veggies and make up some rice and some quinoa and some yams and some squashes and always have that on hand.
Yeah, so get norried.
Exactly, absolutely. So I just thought, I mean, we have talked about this before in an SNU, What's Cooking, but I just thought I'd bring it back again because we have a lot of new students on board, and it's just a really quick and easy recipe to make, and it's beneficial. And kids love it, too.
So there you go. We got to get those kids on those good diets.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, that was a great What's Cooking, dear.
You're welcome.
Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Remy Molshand, who lives in the Netherlands and is a CSNA graduate, along with many other credentials that he has.
No doubt.
Remy is definitely a mover and a shaker, and you can tell by his interview. He's a wonderful role model for those seeking balance in life, family, and career. He also does meditation. He's got a wonderful diet, which he also talks about as in the CSNA, which he brought back to the Netherlands, and he also teaches his students a lot of the CSNA principles. He says that there is many fitness facilities now in the Netherlands, and you know, I lived in the Netherlands, and when I wanted to go and train at a gym, I had to hunt far and wide for a gym in those days, and that was in the mid-80s. One of the questions that he asks is, what is really important in your life? And this is the question that he left us with, was what is important in your life? And he thinks that health is really important in life, and without health, where can you go from there? And one of the things that Remy would say in his final word was, go for gold.
Yeah, he's a deep thinker and a philosopher. We had an immediate connection when I met him at the Colgan camp back, I think maybe it was 8-9 years ago. I don't remember exactly when. I met a bunch of really cool people at that particular camp, and Remy was one of them. And he's gone on, and I guess what he has experienced is that in order to get anything done right and to do it as well as you can, you've got to do it yourself.
Right on, Remy.
Right? So he's created his own training facilities. He's teamed up with other people. He's very choosy, very picky. These people have to be movers and shakers like him.
Well, he says they have to be like him.
Right.
If you want people to work with you, find people who are like you.
Nothing more frustrating than working with individuals that don't live up to their own word.
Exactly.
They don't show up, or they're not reliable, or they don't put out, or it's like a team, a great team in sport. Every individual is unique but capable of pulling their weight and doing the work when the work needs to get done.
Well, you know, we've said this before, it's hard to soar like an eagle when you work with a bunch of turkeys.
No doubt.
That's right. So I'd just like to thank Remy very much for his special guest interview.
Yes, and I'm also going to take him up on his invitation to come out and visit him. That's definitely on the European map. I was on the Google Maps last night looking at Sicily.
Ooh.
And doing some review of its history and some of the sites to see. A very huge amount of history and a lot of interest there for me. But, you know, looking at the map and our creating a tour for our future plans to go there is very exciting. And we'll definitely be visiting Remy.
Absolutely. That sounds great.
Yeah, so let's move on to our final segment, CHI Update. What's happening there?
Holy moly, what a couple of months we've had. We are now proud grandma, grandpa to little Riley Elizabeth Harrington, who was born on Monday, July 30th at 4:26 p.m. Ruby had a fantastic birth experience. And for any mother out there who's got grandchildren and, you know, has a daughter, you are more than thrilled when they have a good positive experience. Ruby was really nervous about giving birth because she's sitting around, as per usual, most new pregnant women do. They sit around and talk to other women who've had babies, and some of the birth experiences aren't too pleasant. So it was nothing like she expected. There was no drugs, no epidural, no Tylenol, no tears. It was all wonderful. And her husband was there the whole time.
Yeah, I think they had a very positive experience. And they grew up a lot, which is what nature forces you to do in that kind of situation.
Absolutely. And she's breastfeeding and she's eating really well. And the mother and the baby are eating well. The baby slept 4 hours in a row at 1 week old. She was thrilled. So they are both getting... All three of them, mom and dad and baby, are all getting lots of sleep. And Ruby says, I want to go to the gym. I want to get going to the gym. Amazing. After the baby's 10 days old today, and she's ready to go back to the gym. Now this, I mean, youth plays a big role on this, but that means she's healthy and well. She's got a speedy recovery. And we've talked about this before in health and fitness. The faster you recover, the healthier you know you are.
Well, you know, you talk about recovery and exercise, but if we use pregnancy, delivery, and labor as an example, there is a perfect example of what your body is doing after the process.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to get back to normal? Because that's what recovery is.
Now, of course, being who I am, I had to get my digs in there, and I said, see, Ruby, isn't it great that you took your protein shakes, you took your supplements, you exercised, you weight trained, you walked, you drank a lot of water, you stayed well hydrated. Now, when the rubber hits the road, when you really needed it, good health doesn't cost, it pays. And she totally is sold on it, more than she's ever been. She's always been sold on it, but when she really needed it to kick in, it was there for her.
Well, and it's been there for you and I, too, and every time it is, it just compounds the interest. The dividends continue to be paid. It is the world's greatest investment. Beats Wall Street to no end. You know, any money that you've got in the bank can't compare in terms of residual income for the rest of your life to the benefits of training and exercise.
Well, what's really interesting, I mean, you can have so much money and not be well, and you can pay for all the best of health has to offer, but, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to do the work.
Yeah, and you've got to learn how to prevent trouble. It's all about prevention. You know, I think we spend a dollar for every 99 in terms of prevention versus treatment of the disease. At least that's part of what's wrong with our situation, is that we're not focusing on doing what it takes to prevent the disturbance. Like, I'm preparing for my competition, so I'm preparing in advance. I'm learning from experience how to prevent trouble that might come up otherwise if I didn't even think about it.
Well, that's true, too, because you are lifting very heavy. And we go in the gym, and I'm thinking, what are you? You don't need to lift that heavy a weight. It's just, like, massive. But anyway, you are taking plenty of time off to heal, repair, and recover, which is part of it. You know, and the older you get, you need more time for recovery. And that's exactly what you're doing, and you're feeding your body really well as well.
Well, yes, and it's also part of a mesocycle concept. So it's not forever. It's just a short term. The focus is strength and power. Then you move away from that, and you sort of periodize. And so people can periodize their lives, too. We need to back away when there's been a lot of stress, rest and recover. And this is what a lot of people don't do because they're forced to go to work the next day.
Yes.
And fortunately, Ruby lives in a part of the world, British Columbia, with an excellent medical services. plan for pregnancy for moms that are able to stay home for a year and receive up to 60% of their income.
That's right.
And that is just a godsend. That's just wonderful. In places where a woman has to be really stressed out and worried about money and income, she can't work, obviously, and it strains the marriage. And so this is just one of the advantages of living in Canada, at least here in BC.
Well, it sure was nice to see our tax dollars going to work, I'll tell you, because she had a beautiful room. Vernon Jubilee Hospital was fantastic. The nurses were wonderful. And she had a private room with all this up-to-date machinery. And she had a beautiful bathroom. And the father stayed overnight in the hospital. They had a bed there for him. The couch pulled out into a bed. And she stayed in like two nights or three nights, I can't remember. Anyway, that would have cost tens of thousands of dollars in the U.S. I know that.
Well, my dad came by for a visit, and he said that when I was being born back in 57, fathers were not allowed in the delivery room. They weren't allowed. It wasn't an option. You just weren't allowed to go in there.
Right.
And now they invite you. They encourage you. They want the whole family in there if it's possible. So there are some changes going on. There is some evidence of enlightenment.
Yes.
And, of course, everybody sort of has to take on that experience themselves in their own way. But we were outside during the actual final process, and then the announcement came, and we went in there, and it was just really nice to see Ruby with a smile. She was relatively well, and she looked wholesome.
She even almost cleaner. She wasn't yellow. She wasn't puffy.
No.
I think that's what the drugs do.
The drugs are so destructive. They're so ruinous to your health. Yes, you get free of the pain, but then the payback is huge.
Yeah. Exactly, because then you can't look after your baby well enough when you're on all these drugs. And then, and they're acidic as well, so you could break out in cold sores and all types of different acidic ailments. But they never took the baby away for her once. That baby stayed in that room for 2 days with her and never left her side, which was fantastic because, the old days, they used to take the baby away from you, right?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool. It was a really great experience.
Very cool.
Had.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the fun starts.
Yeah. Now, a week before the baby was born, they got married. So tell us a little bit about that.
They decided they were going to get married, and then she decided she didn't want to because she thought she was too fat. And I'm going, Ruby, so many women that are pregnant, feel the way that you do, but all women who are pregnant have a big stomach. You're not fat. It's baby. And she looked fantastic.
She did, yeah.
Anyway, we had a wonderful wedding for her. It was fantastic. I passed out by 10 o'clock at night, but the young people stayed up till the wee hours of the morning.
Oh, what I liked about it was how simple it was.
Oh, it was simple, yes. It was lovely, and it was very nice.
No complexity, no politics, no worries and anxiety and stresses. And maybe that's because the decision to get married came, and then a week later they were married. So there wasn't this long, worn-out preparation and all these politics that goes on in families and backbiting and screaming and yelling and all that stuff.
So now we have a new family.
Yes.
The Harrington family, that's a
right.
lovely last name, and they're lovely people, and so life goes on.
No doubt.
Life goes on, and literally, life goes on. Little baby's life goes on, and then I see her laying there in her little bassinet, and I wonder what life is going to bring to her. You do, huh?
Yeah, I spent some time yesterday holding her, and you know what happens when you do that is that those little people, they tend to get a hold of you when you hold them, and then you're stuck. You fall in love with them.
Yes.
And then that's how they get you.
I know. They certainly
right?
do.
Like little Max.
Yeah.
Little boy.
Max.
So when I see him, there's this immediate little connection. Him. I'm so glad that we have the opportunity to put that bonding time in and spend the close proximity related time. You can see that Mike's parents are away, and they really wish they were close by.
Yeah.
And so I really feel wonderful about what we do in our business with CHI. It gives us that freedom to be able to just pick up and go.
Exactly.
Instantly.
Exactly. And if
you know, half computer will travel.
And if we had to go back to Vancouver because there was some illness or someone got pregnant again, we could just pack up and away we go. You know, it's just really great
it's
that
so
way.
So cool. Yeah, and speaking of going back to Vancouver, let's have a quick mention about the conference because that's coming up.
It certainly is. Goodness gracious.
It's right around the corner.
Coke's on you. Yes, September 29th is a CHI conference and trade show in Coquitlam. It's a fantastic event, and the theme is all about recovery. So we can talk about a little bit about Ruby's birth experience, how quickly she recovered, but we have some fantastic speakers. Corey, maybe you want to talk about that?
Well, myself, yours truly, can't wait to release the Kraken and be who I am on stage. I love public speaking, as you well know, but my focus is prevention. The best way to recover from anything is not get into trouble, like I was saying. So if you can avoid injury, avoid exhaustion, avoid being around the wrong people in the wrong situation. When I travel, if I smell trouble, it's like exit stage left. I'm like the roadrunner. I just turn around and, you know, I'm gone. So we put ourselves sometimes in situations that are impossible to dig ourselves out of. And then when we go through it, and if we do survive, and some people barely survive, it takes them eons to recover. In fact, you and I have both met people that were in car accidents like 20 years ago, and they still haven't recovered.
Right. Yep.
So they're not in good shape. And I'm convinced that getting fit, physically fit, like the Spartan model, is about physical beauty, physical magnificence, and intellectual development. Like you become like an Aristotle or Socrates in your brain. You envelop yourself in knowledge, you study the science, you find out what's going on, but you also do the physical work, right? Because we're not hunting, farming, fishing, gathering. We have to go to the gym in order to move. We need to walk, and walking here has given me a lot of insight about not just expending energy to burn calories. I think that that's the wrong approach. I think that you need to know that there's a functional element of movement that helps preserve your function, especially your joints.
Well, you know, you see on TV, they have all these advertisements about weight loss and all these different companies that do weight loss programs. And, you know, when these people talk, what do they say? I feel better in my clothes. I have more self-esteem. I have more self-worth. I feel good about myself. I like to look in the mirror now. I have more confidence. And that's what being lean and mean and having muscle on your body gives you, all these things. So it's also mental. It's not just a physical. It's mental. It makes you stronger mentally.
No, I think it's like the analogy of nutrition and exercise. You know, they've evolved into two different camps, but they are one and the same thing because they're both essential to health and its achievement and maintenance. So the physical and the intellectual or the mental, those things are one and the same because they're in the body, but people don't do the work that's necessary to develop each. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to have some balance. You've got to focus on the things that need the work.
Mm-hmm. And be consistent.
And
that's another one.
Consistency and how important that. Well, let's finish off with what's on a lot of people's minds, and we're all taking this into the Olympics in London. What do you think about that?
Now, I haven't watched a lot of it because I've been busy dancing again, got back into that. But it's great to see the sprinting, which they call the athletics now. They don't call it track and field anymore.
No, they should call it track and field because, in my opinion, every one of the events are athletic.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of
odd. The
whole
thing is athletics.
So there was also a fellow, I can't remember who it was, he was doing the sprinting. Didn't he do the 200 meter and he had artificial legs?
Yes.
That
was Carson Mundy. He was doing the 400 meters.
Yeah.
And he's a double amputee from South Africa.
Yeah.
And very controversial. I don't know what my position is on it exactly because I'm still giving it some thought, but I was just thinking that if you took that to the next level and created an artificial leg, or let's say that you had no legs at all and you created bionic legs so that you could run a mile in a minute. So is that individual acceptable to run against the other people that are so-called natural? It's very interesting. I guess there was a board, there was a lot of controversy, there was people that were for and against, and he barely just got in. He's a very well-known paraplegic Olympiad.
Yes.
But, you know, it'll be interesting because in the future they're going to have all kinds of new technologies for the hands and the arms, and they'll be able to develop things inside of people, like without even being able to see it.
Yes, exactly.
You know, with gene doping. But also people, they'll go in for surgery, like the way women and men get augmented.
Yes.
So why wouldn't athletes get augmented to have new technology put inside their legs and arms, which would be invisible, but inside would give you a huge advantage? Now, would that be acceptable? Is that allowed?
That's...
You see?
Yeah,
I think that they should hold the standard to the natural normal state of a human being and not allow any artificial limbs to be involved because of what that will lead to.
And that would be a different event. But also, I guess the Olympians are from what age? 15 to 70 years old?
Well, there's no age limit. If you make the mark and can qualify for the Olympics, you could be 8 years old or 1,000. And I actually just checked on this, and the oldest competitor in this year's Olympics in the 2012 is 71.
Wow.
His name is Hiroshi Hokitsu. He's an equestrian rider. But the oldest Olympiad ever in the history of the Olympics is 72. So he doesn't have the record yet, but that was a Swedish shooter named Oscar Swan, and that was in 1920.
Wow.
This year, the youngest competitor is Adzo Kosi. She's 13. 13, and she competed in the women's 50-meter freestyle. And she was from Togo, which is a small little country in West Africa.
I didn't realize that there was no age limit. There really is no age limit.
No, you could be 5 years old. If you can put the shot, the minimum distance to qualify for your national standard, like, say, in Canada,
really?
Then you would make the Olympic team.
Oh, my God.
They just base it on performance.
I never thought about it. I never gave it a thought about the age group, right? But that's interesting to note then.
Well, just for some interesting trivia, it's interesting. There are 20 sports in the Summer Olympics. Of course, my favorite are what they call athletics. And being the hammer thrower that I am, I was curious to know how the hammer went this year. And the winner is a fellow named Christian Pars from Hungary. It seems like the Europeans and Russians always win, but still, no one has been able to outthrow Yuri Sadik, who still holds the world record that he got in 1986, which is 86.74 meters.
Wow.
This Christian Pars from Hungary, he threw it 80.59 meters.
Wow, that's a lot of difference, huh?
You know, half a meter is huge in that event because, you know, like the 100 meters, we saw Usain Bolt win it in 9.63. But there were other athletes, fractions of seconds right behind him. And then when they show it on slow motion, it looks like there's a lot of distance. But when you're moving in the pack, it's just like wind moving at hurricane speed. But that was so beautiful. I love the sprinters. I love track and field. Absolutely my favorite sport because there's no subjectivity in it. You either throw the implement, like the javelin, the discus, hammer, you run and it's clocked. There's no judges that say, well, I don't like that physique, or there's no subjectivity. It's really objective, and that is what I like about track and field.
Exactly.
Compared to some of the other sports where it's possible to have bias and prejudice in the judgment, like even in bodybuilding, that's what I don't like about it. When a judge looks at the different physiques, they may like one physique over the other, and that is not really acceptable. But then how do you determine the best physique in a bodybuilder? It's not like running a certain speed over a certain length of track and field.
Eye is the beauty of the beholder, right?
Absolutely.
You know, so.
So they're showing that the judges have to be non-biased and also well-trained in their sport. They have to be really good judges of men and women.
Exactly. But no, it's interesting to see how things are changing in sport, right?
Absolutely. The Olympics this year, I noticed that many of the athletes are leaner than they have been, which is good to see. And the thing that I think when I look at the athletes, like some of the women shot putters and the men shot putters and some of the hammer throwers and the weightlifters especially, I look at the fat guts, I look at the excess fat, and I'm thinking what this person's health is going to be like when they eventually retire from the sport. And I went online and I looked at a documentary on Alexeyev, the great Russian weightlifter. And, of course, he died fairly young, and he evolved into just a huge ball of pain and inflammation to the point where if he fell down, he couldn't even get back up on his own. So what is the long-term effect of the intensity of this training? How are these people eating? Do they get autoimmune conditions? Yes, they do. What is the outcome of what they are doing? And that is the criticism I have, if I have any, about the IOC, is that they're promoting and advocating sportsmanship, and they have rules that set policies, etc. But it's really still, it comes down to only performance. That's what it's only about, performance.
Right.
So if these athletes are not well, and it's easy to not be well, you can hide inflammation, you can hide pain, you can take pain relief medication, you can take all kinds of drugs and get through the sport and compete, but they're not focusing on the health. the long-term health, health of mind and body. It's only performance. That's what I would like to see change. I'd like to see more emphasis and focus on preventive medicine and on the effects of training and some way to advocate the concept of wellness, total wellness, as being the ultimate athlete and champion.
Well, maybe one day you can have your Corey Classic.
There you go, and I certainly will.
Okay.
Good stuff. Well, that was a great SNU. He said, she said. My dear, what is your final word?
My final word is, a daughter may outgrow your lap, but she will never outgrow your heart.